And it's now time for my very favourite part of the show. It's where we grill a guest. I think we should have a little jingle from now on. I've just stumbled on this fantastic idea for a feature for a show. Instead of just having a guest, no, it's time to grill a guest. We have in the studio, it's Paula. I've just been calling you Paula. Paula, what's your last name?
Matthews.
Paula Matthews. Yeah. It's lovely to meet you. We've not met before.
No.
Although you have been in on Vectis Radio.
Been on Vectis Radio a couple of times before, yeah.
Okay, but you're in today for a special reason.
Yes, I am.
Go on, tell us about the reason.
Basically, this week is Deaf Awareness Week, and I'm the technical officer for people with hearing impairment. Basically, that means that I go and see people at home, I assess their needs for equipment, etc., etc., and anything that I recommend that they have. It's not something they have to have, but I recommend that they can have free on long-term loan through our service. But more than that, really, what I wanted to do was promote Deaf Awareness, as it is Deaf Awareness Week, and all of the problems that people with hearing loss, whether they are profoundly deaf British Sign Language users, hard of hearing, or deafened, any of those, they have specific needs in order to make communication effective. And that's really the basis of being deaf aware. And it's not just about one person to another person. It's also about groups of people. It's about employment. It's about the work setup for people and what they need to make their communication needs effective so that they can carry out a job if that's what they want to do. So it's quite a large misunderstood subject area.
And okay.
Because it's a hidden disability, it's never there at the forefront unless somebody actually says, "I'm really sorry, but I am hard of hearing. Could you please?" And then go on to say what they need. But the people I meet are not really forward enough necessarily to put those feelings forward, especially to somebody they don't know. And being hard of hearing myself, I can relate to people and I can empathise with the situation that they live with. And I think that's why I get a lot of feedback, complimentary feedback, because I can empathise. And it is one of those things quite often, as with a lot of hidden disabilities, it's very misunderstood.
Mm.
And people just don't know necessarily how to talk to other people, or it's what we can class as, I don't know if anyone's heard of this term, but the "does she take sugar" syndrome. And basically what that means is a person would prefer sometimes to talk to another person who's with the disabled person rather than the disabled person themselves.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And this happens a lot. I mean, things like somebody with a mild hearing loss that might not necessarily need hearing aids, going to a supermarket. If you consider the noise that's around, I know a lot of the supermarkets have been very good lately because it's not just hearing loss that's affected. I realise that. And they're doing between 9 and 10. I know Morrison's particularly do between 9 and 10. They do a quiet hour. Now, that is perfect for people with hearing loss. It might not be everybody's choice to go shopping between 9 and 10 in the morning, but on a Saturday morning, that's what they do. A lot of that, the problems arise from the noisy environment. And when you get to the checkout, and then if you're not looking at the person, if the assistant is looking away, looking down, looking up, and they can't actually see their face, they won't hear what's been said. So they won't know how much they've got to pay. They won't know if everything was all right that went through. They won't, any questions they will have missed. So it's that's basically what being deaf aware is about, is having those level of communication skills.
Maybe we'll try it now and again, you know, shove your fingers in your ears and see what it's really like.
Yeah.
Because until you do that, you ain't going to know.
No.
And it's just like you say, it's making people aware. Well, how can they be aware? Just try it. Just get your ears out or something.
Yeah.
And then communicate and see what happens. I've got to ask this again, because I don't know, and hopefully we might dispel a myth, we might not. Just say, for instance, if there's people listening now that have or are going through that, am I, aren't I, have I got, you know, issue on the decline, my hearing, and so on and so forth. If you were made aware of what was available to you now, and you were age 35, and your ears were on the decline, could you slow down the process if you act now?
Yes, would be the answer. There's been a lot of research into cognitive ability and hearing loss, and it's exactly the same for people that are losing their sight as well. It works in tandem. But if you don't act on your hearing loss, if you feel that you've got a problem, or somebody is saying to you, my goodness, that television is up loud.
That's you've heard mine, haven't you?
That is often what happens, is it will be a family member, a friend, or a visitor who will say, oh my goodness. But the sooner you take action on that, the prospects later on are far, far better. It does help to slow the cognitive decline if you take action on your sight or your hearing. There's been an awful lot of research around this, and it's been proven.
So what happens is, just say for instance, you know, you're talking to a 53-year-old bloke who's had some kind of test about 10 years ago, with the thing on your ear and the thing on the back of your head.
Yeah.
And yes, in one ear I'm kind of, you know, losing hearing. You know, it's not so that it affects me massively, but every now and again, yes, I will have the telly up loud, because if it's something quiet, I'll turn it up so I can hear it. What is there in place for me? What advice are you going to give me? Why is it, you know, just to make the point, why is it worth me now coming to see you? You know, what can you do? What will happen? What's the plan for my lugholes?
Right. First off, you need to get a diagnosis. That right. means going to have a hearing test. You can have that done privately. Some of the private dispensers do offer free hearing tests for people over a certain age. Otherwise, it would mean a referral to audiology via your doctor. Some GP practices do offer hearing tests at the practice, so that would be an inquiry you would need to make to your individual GP service. And then after that, once you've had the hearing test and got your diagnosis, they would give you some recommendations of what to do next. Your hearing loss may not be bad enough to be aided at this point, but the likelihood is it will deteriorate as you get older. It's the natural aging process, but it doesn't happen to everyone.
Right.
So by the time you get to your 70s, perhaps mid-70s, you may find that you're starting to get other problems as well, like mishearing certain words and answering the wrong question that's been asked.
Yeah, well, so, that could be a man thing, couldn't it? In my case, it probably is. Can I ask about the you know, because I would imagine there's a lot of people out there that you know, years ago they would have had these great big things stuck on their ears, and it was quite obvious that they were a problem, and people might have taken the mickey and so on and so forth. I would imagine things have changed so much that they're a little bit more subtle.
Definitely, yes. I mean, years ago, what you would have had was what was called a body-worn hearing aid. And basically, that would have been a box that you wore on your chest with wires going up to your ears. And that box was... most of that box was really batteries. Mm. But it was also an analogue amplifier. So it could amplify the sound. Nowadays, we have got really tiny hearing aids. And there are several types of hearing aids. And Audiology at St Mary's, they do quite a range. And they will talk to you about what they think is going to suit your level of hearing loss. Because the hearing aids are actually programmed to simulate your hearing loss so that it gives you more natural sound again. That's the aim behind it.
Right.
But yes, so if you've got, like me, sort of rather long, curly hair, then nobody would know you were even wearing them.
But you know what? It's funny you should say that, because there was a lady that I had a meeting with very recently. I'm not going to mention her. All I will say is she's got a very prominent job. And she said, no one would know about these. And she lifted back her hair and she pointed. And I said, what, about your earrings? And she said, no one knows about this. And she said, I've got a hearing problem. I'm basically more or less tone deaf. And you think, well, how incredible is that? You didn't have to show me that either. I wouldn't have known. Because even when your hair was pinned back, they looked like earrings.
Yeah.
It was like, well, I wouldn't have known. So you didn't have to tell me.
That's right.
So which is a lovely thing. So if there are people out there, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, okay, you might have this visualisation in your head where you've got somebody that's a great big box strapped to their chest with wires going up to their ears and it stands out. It's not like that nowadays.
Definitely not.
And you know, why struggle on with not being able to hear things? If you've got problems, then go and check somebody. Is the first portal called doctor?
Doctor, usually, unless you've already got a diagnosed hearing loss, then yes, your GP is we would highly recommend you talk to your GP first and foremost. Yes.
Okay. Is there a website that you're on that you're promoting?
Action on Hearing Loss does have its own website. So www.actiononhearingloss.org.uk. That is the website for Action on Hearing Loss. There is also a shop, so you can look at products that might help depending on your particular problem. Again, we are here for anyone who is diagnosed. We can support with small pieces of equipment. There is a lot available that people really are not aware of, to be fair.
Go and find out about it. That's it. Don't be afraid of it. Honestly, it's not like it was, you know, X amount of years ago. I mean, I would imagine there's an awful lot more people. Did you mention it was one in six people?
One in six people have a hearing loss, whether diagnosed or not.
Yeah.
And just as a statistic, usually, on average, it takes somebody 10 years before they will actually take action on their hearing loss. So it'll take 10 years for somebody to be saying to them, get your ears checked, the television's off the scale, to actually doing something about it. Mm. On average, that is 10 years. Okay. That's 10 years too long.
Yeah, don't do it. Do it this week.
Yeah,
do it this week. It's awareness week, so go and sort yourself out.
Absolutely.
Message.
Okay. Yep.
Look, Paula, thanks very much for coming in. We come back again. Maybe we'll do some sign language, learn some sign language, and a few other things that we can do.
Well, sign language is a little bit difficult over the radio.
Obviously, I can describe what's going on.
Okay.
I just think it'd be fascinating, but yeah. Great to meet you, and I think, you know, hopefully you're going to be really, really busy until Sunday this goes on.
Deaf Awareness Week is till Sunday, and we also offer lots of information. We've got lots of information leaflets. This one's particularly good, and it outlines the communication tips for people if you're speaking to somebody with hearing loss, or for people who have a hearing loss. At the end of the day, you're only responsible for one side of a conversation. And I try to emphasise that on the people that I see. But if the other person doesn't know or understand what it is you need to make that conversation effective for them, then they're going to say, oh, well, never mind then. Yeah. And there's nothing more frustrating than that.
Yeah, I bet. I can imagine. Hey, Paula, great to meet you. And hopefully we'll see you again very soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.